Welcome to Daily in the Word.
Striving Together Publications is committed to providing growing Christians and local churches with life-changing resources. For growing Christians, we strive to provide solid Christian books and music that encourages your heart and strengthens your faith. For local churches and spiritual leaders, we're providing sound, biblical Sunday school curriculum, outreach and discipleship materials, church brochures, sermon helps, and a growing list of other tools and resources. If you are a growing Christian or a leader in local church ministry, you simply must visit Striving Together Publications at strivingtogether.com.
We've each been given by God one lifetime with limited resources. How you steward those resources is your gift back to God. And today we're going to discover how to steward life in light of eternal priorities. Stay with us next with Dr. Paul Chappell, a new series, Stewarding Life. Truly, life is a gift from God, and each of us has one lifetime to live with limited resources. So here's the question today. Are you spending or are you investing your life? God has given you a life and filled it with resources like time and health and finances and relationships. How you steward those resources will determine whether you successfully fill God's eternal purpose for your life. I'm Kerry Schmidt, and this is Daily in the Word, featuring the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in the high desert of Southern California, Lancaster, California. Daily in the Word comes to you every Monday through Friday, and we hope you'll join us for every step of this journey, stewarding life. You can visit us online at dailyintheword.org. When you do, you can listen to recent broadcasts, including all of the broadcasts for this series, Stewarding Life. And be sure to take a look at Dr. Chappell's new book that goes along with this series. It's entitled Stewarding Life. It's a couple hundred pages hardback, and it encapsulates all the great truths we're studying in one hardback book. You can find information about all of these resources at dailyintheword.org. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org. Today we learn how to steward the truth. Romans chapter 1, here's Paul Chappell.
Well, we've been learning about the many gifts that God gives into our lives and how God wants us to take those gifts and multiply them. He wants us to steward them according to His will. You know, in life, many times we have opportunities that come our way, and if we're not careful, we're going to miss those opportunities entirely. Some of you may have heard on the news this past week about Steve Jobs, the founder of Apple Computer, and how that his life came to an end, sadly, just a few days ago. A great businessman, a great engineer, a great inventor, one of the greatest in all of American history, really. And Steve Jobs lived from about 1955 until just a few days ago, and probably the thing that he's most famous for is Apple Computers. And some of you might know the story that he and two other men founded this computer company. One man's name was Steve Wozniak, and the other was a man by the name of Ron Wayne. These three men got together, and they brought into existence this Apple Computer Company. And by the way, how many of you have an Apple product? Just curious. Let me see where you are. All right, so maybe a third or so, and so you're familiar with the products. Now, what you may not be familiar with is the fact that this third man, Ron Wayne, he started the company with the other two men, and he was excited about everything that was going on for about 11 days. But 11 days later, he wasn't sure about this opportunity. He wasn't sure about this investment that he had made. After all, he had put $10,000 into the company. And stewardship-wise, he just wasn't sure if that was the best way to invest and whether or not he wanted to stay involved with Apple. And so 11 days into this business venture, Mr. Wayne decided, you know what, I want out. And so he sold his stock in that company for $10,000, and or rather a 10% stake in the company for $800. And he took his $800 and he got out of Apple, and he was glad that he didn't have the worry of all of that on him anymore. Now, that $800 today would be worth $22 billion. That little 10% stake in the company, that $800 investment that he was so nervous about, would have grown to the $22 billion mark. But he deemed that a little too risky, and so he missed the biggest payoff in his life because he jumped out and felt it wasn't for him. Apple Computer wasn't going to be a part of his future. Now, I want you to know this morning that the most important gift that God has ever given to you is the truth concerning his son. There is no other matter that is of more importance, of more eternal value, than the truth that God has revealed concerning his son, Jesus Christ. And Jesus said, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free." And I want you to know this morning that compared to a mere $22 billion, your eternal life is of much more significance. Your eternity with God is of much greater value. Now, when we open the book of Romans, we open a rich wealth of material given to us by God through his Holy Spirit to the Apostle Paul. It is a book in which he describes God's love in presenting Jesus to the world. It is a book in which he describes the pagan Roman world and how they knew about God, but they had rejected God time and time again. And I want you to think about the truth with me today. And as we look back into the Roman world and as we read from God's word, I want you to consider this question: what are you doing with the truth? Are you treating it with inestimable value? Are you treating it as the greatest investment ever given to you? Or are you treating it sort of like someone who says, you know, I don't have time for that, and turns and walks away from it? In our text this morning, I want you to notice, first of all, the truth revealed. I want you to see that God's truth has been revealed time and time again to this world. Notice in verse number 18 of the text, it says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them." The word there in verse 19, known, speaks of something that is observable. It says that which may be known or observed or understood of God has been revealed. Some people say, you don't know enough about God. You can't know enough about God. I don't even know if there's a God. Some people say there might be a God, but I'm not sure where he is. And many people have taken this approach that God is just someone out there, maybe, and others have taken the approach that there is no God. But I want you to see in the scriptures this morning that God, throughout the world's history, has been reaching out to us, wanting to get to know us, wanting to have fellowship with us again. He created us for the purpose of fellowship. Now think about five different ways that God has revealed himself to us very quickly. First of all, God has revealed the truth to us throughout history. Throughout history, he has revealed the truth to us. I think, for example, of the Garden of Eden, and some of you have studied in the Bible about Adam and Eve. God created Adam and Eve, and God brought them into existence. God allowed them a place in the Garden of Eden, and the Bible says in Genesis 2:15, "And the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest eat freely, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die." I want you to know that there were two times in world history when the entire world population knew God and knew God's will for their life. And one of those times was right there in the Garden of Eden. They had fellowship with God. God revealed his truth to them. He told them how he wanted to live. But Adam and Eve made a knowing choice, and they walked away from God's plan for their life. You turn the pages of Scripture several chapters over in the book of Genesis, and you're going to come to a time that we call the antediluvian society. That's the world before the flood. And many civilizations believe in a flood. In South America, Central America, in Africa, and Europe, you'll find ancient civilizations have a record of a worldwide flood. And God came to a man named Noah who was righteous and who knew God, and who knew the revelation of God. And the Bible says in Genesis 7:1, "The Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation." And the Bible says in 2 Peter 2 and verse 5, "And he spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing the flood upon the world of the ungodly." Once again, Noah and his family represented in that ark the entire world's population. They knew God. They knew God's revelation. They knew his will for their life. God built this ark, which incidentally is the size of 522 rail boxcars. It was an enormous construction project. And God said, Noah, tell everybody, whoever comes into this ark can be saved. But again, God revealed himself and the world said, no thanks to God. The world said, we don't want what you have to offer. And so it was just Noah and his family that were saved in that ark. And the entire world had the truth. You see, in world history, God time and again revealed himself to man. But you know, there's another way that God has tried to get our attention. And that way is by giving us his inspired scriptures. You see, through the Bible, the Word of God, God has been speaking to the world time and again. Now, the devil hates the Bible. There have been Bible-burning campaigns. There have been countries, and still are today, where the Bible is outlawed and where you're not allowed to preach the Bible and the gospel message of Jesus Christ. Yet the Word of God is still the number one best-selling book in the world today. It is still being preached around the world. Look at what it says in Romans 1 and verse number 1. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated under the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. So the Holy Scriptures are God's revelation of the truth of Jesus Christ. They give us a specific revelation of God. The Bible is the pillar of truth that God has revealed to us. It is the light that shows us the way to God. Thy word have I hid in my heart. The word of God is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. It guides us and it directs us. And so God says, hey, it's not that you can't know me. I've been trying to be in contact with you. I've given you myself throughout history. I have given you my scriptures, my revelation. Jesus said of the Bible in John 17:17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Would you say that verse with me? Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Jesus said in John chapter 6 and verse 63, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. And so this morning, my friend, the Bible is God's revelation to man. God says, hey, I'm trying to get your attention with Adam and Eve, with Noah, with the Old Testament prophets mentioned there in verse number 2. And then through the scriptures, God has been seeking man and giving his truth to man. We see that God revealed himself in history and in the scriptures. Let me tell you the greatest way God ever revealed himself. And that, my friends, is through the life of Jesus Christ. Through the life of his son, Jesus Christ. Look at verse number 3, if you would, of Romans chapter 1. It says, concerning his son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh. Now look at friends, that's what Christmas is really all about. It's all about God becoming man and dwelling among us. And just a side note, in case you don't know, friends, Christmas is just 76 days away. I hope you're getting ready for that. I hope you're aware of that. And I hope when it comes, you'll remember Christmas is God's way of getting this world's attention. And it's his way of revealing himself to a lost and dying world. I heard of a little boy a few Christmases ago, and he was one of these persistent little fellows. He'd hit that age where he didn't give up. And he kept telling his parents, I want to watch for Christmas. I want to watch for Christmas. Days and days, September, October, November. Finally into December, one day his dad said, I don't ever want you to say that again to me, son. His son kind of put his head down and said, all right, dad. Well, that night, dinner time came, and the little boy said, dad, he said, would you mind if I prayed for the meal tonight? little boy's dad said, all right. And he said, do you mind if I read a scripture, dad, before I pray? Don't you love it when they get religious on you like that, you know? His dad said, all right. He said, okay, dad, Mark 13:37. And what I say unto you, I say unto you all, watch. Well, he got his point across. I don't know if he got the watch. But God says, let me tell you what Christmas is. It's my son. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. And the Bible says the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then in John 1:14 it says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. That eternal Word, the Son of God, Jesus, became flesh. He was conceived in Mary of the Holy Ghost. And he was born not as the Son of Man, but as the Son of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory as of the only begotten of the Father. God says, hey, I'm trying to get your attention in history and through my prophets. I'm trying to get your attention through my Word. But the biggest way that God has ever endeavored to get our attention and the most sacrificial way was when He sent His Son. And Jesus Christ was not merely born in order that He might live a good life and just show us how to live, but Jesus Christ was born to die. And when we see the cross, we're mindful of the fact that God revealed Himself to us through His Son, and that Jesus Christ is the revelation of God to a lost and dying world, and that Jesus Christ came in order that He might shed His blood and cause every one of us to know a way of forgiveness by way of the cross. God has revealed His truth through many means, but the most prominent way was when He sent His Son. And who is this one, Jesus Christ? Notice if you would in Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 1. In your notes it says, God, who at sundry times and in different manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds, who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person. That means when they saw Jesus walking on this earth, they saw the express image of God, God in the flesh. The brightness of His glory, the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. Now you understand something about Jesus Christ this morning. He is the Son of God, and He by Himself on that cross paid for sin. No pastor can pay for your sin. No priest can pay for your sin. No church can pay for your sin. No baptistry water can pay for your sin. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus Christ. Jesus was God revealed to us. God says, hey, I'm trying to get your attention. I tried in the garden. I tried with Noah. I tried with my prophets. I've tried by sending my own Son, the only begotten Son of God, who shed His blood. And then there's a couple of other ways quickly. Notice God is getting our attention often when He speaks into our conscience and into our heart. Look at Romans chapter 1, and once again at verse 19, it says, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. You see, God is revealing Himself. This matter of revelation, this is a general form of revelation from God to us. He is manifesting Himself into our hearts, into our conscience. John 1:9 says, that was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. That doesn't mean that everyone at the moment they're born is automatically saved, a child of God. It means that everyone has within them a conscience light or an ability to know that there is a God. There is a desire that God has put in your heart to know God. You say, well, I'm here for a friend. I'm here for chicken cordon bleu. I'm here for whatever reason. I'm just going to say you're here partly because there's something in you that's telling you there's more to this life than working my 40-hour job. And there might even be a life after this life. Something's telling you that there is a God. And it's the conscience that God created in you. And then there's a fifth way that God keeps revealing Himself. And that way is through nature, through His creation. Look at verse 20 in our text. It says, for the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. Now you see, God says, my conscience within you, my creation around you are revealing to you who I am. Now we understand that there's a few running around here and there, and some of them teach in colleges, these that are called atheists. And the atheist believes that nothing times nobody equals everything, you know. We just all got here by accident, you know. It's like the guy who wrote the song, And he wrote the poem about the Big Bang Theory and how that billions and billions of years later there was a one-celled amoeba, and billions of years later there was a fish, and billions of years later the fish grew some legs, and billions of years later the fish flopped up on the ocean, and billions of years later he became a monkey, and billions of years later he's swinging around the trees, and billions of years later his tail fell off and he fell down on the ground, hit his head, and became a professor at USC. You've heard the whole story. And there are those, because of their anti-God spirit, because they refuse the revelation of God, they refuse Jesus Christ, they will believe any kind of a foolhardy theory, they will believe any kind of a religion, they will worship a rock before they will believe Jesus Christ. But God says, hey, the things about me that you cannot see, verse 20, the invisible things of me that you cannot see, are clearly seen and understood if you would look around you at the creation all around you. God's created universe reveals God. Psalm 19 and 1, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. And you see, my friend, God has shown us a creation which is evidence of a creator. When I go over to this piano over here and I say, wow, this piano is finely constructed. It's wired just right. It's made of the finest wood. I see that instrument and I'm reminded that somebody created that instrument. You see a fine watch and you see the Swiss movement and you're reminded that somebody crafted that watch. You see a building with all of its symmetry and balance and purpose and you say, wow, somebody designed this, you see. And when you see the world, you say, somebody had something to do with this that's greater than I am, and you're exactly right. And that's God Almighty. And he says, I've been revealing myself to you in many, many different ways. Friend, the fact of the matter is, if you want to know God, he wants to know you. He's been revealing himself throughout history to you. But the Apostle Paul, as he wrote this letter to the Christians at Rome, he said, sadly, though God reveals himself, men reject him. Men know the truth, but they just walk away from the truth. And so notice, secondly, the truth rejected. And the sad thing about truth being rejected is that when light is refused, it increases darkness. Some of you men listen today. You refuse this message. You refuse the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Your family becomes darker. Your family history becomes darker. The sin problem comes deeper into your life. Whenever the light is refused, darkness increases. And yet God's indication is that the light is often refused. And we see that in the scripture. First of all, I want you to know that when men refuse God and when men do not accept Christ, they do it knowingly. They reject God knowingly. Look at verse 21 in our text. It says, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful. Man is innately conscious of God's existence, and yet he is just as innately and wickedly inclined to reject the knowledge of God. They knew God, but they chose to reject God and they refused the knowledge of God. God created us that we might bring glory to him, and yet they glorified him not as God. And there were many illustrations of first century pagans who made this mistake, and there are many 21st century pagans in America making the same mistake. Hearing about Jesus but saying, I don't drive my dad's Oldsmobile and I don't go to my grandma's church either. I'm involved in my music. I'm involved in many religions. I am my own God. I have my own ways. And they reject the revealed truth of God.
Well, you've been listening to Daily in the Word and the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. We're presently studying a series entitled Stewarding Life. You can find out more about this series and hear recent broadcasts when you visit dailyintheword.org. Be sure to also consider subscribing to our daily devotional and the Daily in the Word podcast. You can download Daily in the Word, take it with you on your computer or phone, and listen to it at your convenience. Friend, if you haven't trusted Christ as your personal Savior, I hope you'll do that right now. I hope you'll bow your head and heart wherever you may be and invite Jesus Christ into your life to be your personal Savior, your only Savior. Place your full trust in him and accept his great gift of salvation. If you have questions about that, we sure would love to talk with you about it. I'll give you our toll-free number in just a moment. Don't forget, you can visit us online and find out a lot more about Daily in the Word and the ministry of Dr. Paul Chappell. On our website, you'll find a daily devotional along with an Old Testament and New Testament scripture reading for every day. This complimentary devotional can come straight to your email box and help remind you every day to walk with God. If you follow it along throughout the year, you'll read through the Bible in a year. You'll find this and many other resources on the website, including this series with its recent broadcasts. And you can subscribe complimentary to the Daily in the Word podcast. You can download Daily in the Word to your computer, your phone, or your iPod, and take it with you to listen to at your convenience. All of this is to be found at dailyintheword.org. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org. If you'd like to call us, we sure would love to hear from you. Our toll-free number is 1-800-201-7748. Once again, that's 1-800-201-7748. Don't forget to visit us online at dailyintheword.org, and don't forget to look at Dr. Chappell's two newest books, Stewarding Life and Sacred Motives. You can find out more about it at dailyintheword.org. Thanks for being a part of today's edition, and until next time, have a great day.